Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Horrible.
Is it because Daddy Vamps is dead?
There's no point in living anymore. My favorite character is dead. I don't understand. Why does bad things happen to good people?
Yeah, I'm going to miss his fruit punch mouth the most.
Did we not say that before?
I feel like I'm going to give you the credit. I'm pretty sure it was you who said it very, very, very early on in us during the show.
He does, though.
He really does.
Yeah. Let's talk about my favorite things about Daddy Vamps. Mm-hmm. I loved his blood jacuzzi. I thought that he was a really good interior designer, especially because he lived underground and he had a lot to work with. He did a lot for the little that he had.
And he has been down there 3 scores. So he really has taken the time to figure out exactly what should go where.
Yes. Yes.
He's a great father.
Such a good father. And like, he loved all of his children. And although he's had favorites at different times, at least everybody got the opportunity to be the favorite.
Exactly. And if you fucked it up, that was on you.
And he didn't kill his children. He just got his underlings to do it.
Exactly.
So I love that about him. Mm-hmm. I love.
He wields the force.
That he sometimes was like, he acted out. Like when he was frustrated, he had little tantrums. Mm-hmm. That's very relatable. Yeah. I like the fact that like he was a dreamer, you know? He dreamed to get out. And this is really just like a systematic issue about people that come up from poverty, that they can't get out of the place that they were put in. Like, it's really just like, he is a product of his upbringing and his environment. And if only he was entitled and got the same opportunities that others got, like humans, then he would have been able to get out from the underworld.
He was trying to fulfill the American dream, people. Okay.
Yes.
He was an immigrant coming from underneath. Coming out of Hellmouth.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And isn't it not our fault that we did not give him the same opportunity as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl like Buffy? I think Buffy has brown eyes, but whatever.
Just when they shed light eyes. I don't know.
No, but either way. I think that like it's a horror story. It's a horror story. And you know what? Like, I think that even if he got out, then I don't think that society would have accepted him. And I don't think that he would have gotten the same opportunities as everybody else as a human. And he would have just wound up just under there. I learned all of this from Orange is the New Black. You're more likely to get imprisoned after you've already gotten imprisoned because it's hard to just like bounce back
and
like people don't give you the same opportunities. Like you can't get like a job. He can't get a job at Wendy's.
So sorry. I'm picturing Daddy Vamps standing at the drive-thru window going, can I take your order, with like the headset on and everything, and then people coming up to him, and then him, and he keeps getting in trouble for like drinking the fruit punch, and he's like, I wasn't doing it.
He's just like drinking all the strawberry lemonade. He's like, this stuff is so good. I do like the Wendy's strawberry lemonade. Oh man, I'm like so depressed, and I think I'm like a little, I feel like I'm a little surprised, because I didn't think that Buffy was quite there. And I mean, I guess Daddy Vamps was really just small potatoes.
I think that's what it is, right? We're in season one.
Yeah, I got a lot. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, he was a little easy to beat.
He was so easy to beat. We're gonna talk about this, because there are certain aspects of this finale that it was a little like wah wah to me. Like, we'll talk about the anointed one, who I feel like was made such a big fucking deal out of. Oh my God, the kid, the anointed one. And what the fuck did he do? Well, he held Buffy's hands and walked her into Hellmouth. Well, big fucking deal.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was kind of a bummer too, because I thought that was going to be like an elaborate, like, I am going to lure you in, and that didn't happen. Yes. But I don't think
we like tricks. Where were the tricksy tricks?
Well, I don't think that this is the last time we're going to see the anointed one. The anointed one is fine. Like, he is going to be probably the big bad of season two, because I think that now, like, he has a grudge to hold. Like, his dad was murdered, and also his human mom and dad, like everybody that he knows is gone, and he was a little fuck anyway. We know that.
It's true, but he needs to be a little more like sassy and dark next season if I'm gonna get on board with him being like the replacement Daddy Vamps, because ain't nobody can just Daddy Vamps. Like, he had the charisma, he had the
uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Get all of it.
He could have won RuPaul's Drag Race.
Certainly. Yeah. Especially because when he comes out in that like all leather bondage outfit, like Daddy Vamps, my God.
But you know, Michelle Visage would be like, Daddy Vamps, you need to break out of your comfort zone, because you come with the same look every time. And when are you going to start wearing wigs? She's getting the same like critique as Sasha Velour.
And he's going to get the same critique as who was the queen that always dressed like Barbie, Katya, and who's the other one that has
Are you talking about podcast? Trixie Mattel?
Trixie Mattel. Like, she always wore her makeup like the same way, and they don't like that.
Like,
and they'd be like, Daddy Vamps, like, stop with the Kool-Aid mouth, okay? Like, move on to something else.
You gotta try something else. Yeah. Somebody on this season named Dawn got in trouble for wearing elf ears too often. They're like, please, you have to stop wearing the elf ears. You have
How many looks did she wear elf ears for?
90% of them, all of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine.
She had a lot of elf ears.
All right. Before we get into the podcast proper, can I just complain about one little thing? Because we're already sidetracked.
I mean,
anyway.
Like, why are we not? Like,
Today I decided to be adventurous, and you know I love Coke Zero, and I was out and about. Okay, don't eat my yum. I love Coke Zero.
Yeah. I'm trying to be better about that, but Diet Coke is better, but go on.
So they had this one, and I was intrigued because it was called Coke Zero or Coke Zero Spiced.
Yes, I heard about this. I watched a lot of basketball this weekend because of the NCAA basketball tournament, and the commercials, it was just like the same three commercials over and over again, and one of which was for Coke Zero Spice.
Interesting. Okay, because I didn't know anything about this, but to me, first of all, I was like, a spiced drink feels like a fall thing, and so we're in the wrong season for it, but okay.
Sure.
But it says it's raspberry spiced.
Raspberry, yes.
Let me tell you.
Strange. What does it taste like?
Cough syrup.
And
not in the good way. Like, there are some things that taste like cough syrup in the good way. This is not in the good way, and I'm pretty disappointed.
What is it spiced with?
It just says raspberry spiced. I mean, what is the bottle? Yeah, this is the bottle. It has like a little bit of a purpley hue to it for the raspberry. I don't know, but I was disappointed. And I just want to let people know it's not spiced. It tastes like cough syrup. Don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
Yeah.
At least you didn't buy like a 2 liter case of it.
No, it's just a bottle of it. A 20 ounce bottle. I don't know about grams. 1.25 grams, 591 milliliters for any of our European friends.
Yeah. So it's trash. All right. So it's
live and you learn.
Yeah. It's a flop. Okay. Well, thank you for that because
you're welcome.
I was curious about it because I was seeing a lot of commercials for it. And Adam and I were like, raspberry, that seems interesting. And then they're like spiced, raspberry spice.
But there's no spice, is the thing. Like, if there was like, if it had like, you know, like apple cinnamon spice, like if it had that sort of spice, then maybe I'd be into it. But there's no spice.
I was thinking that it was going to be like a Dr. Pepper adjacent.
It does not taste like that. No, because this is really this much more cough syrupy than Dr. Pepper is.
So strange. But
anyway, I
think that Daddy Vamps would like it.
I think that no, I don't think it's bloody enough for him. Like, I think it needs to be more red. There's not enough. Oh, red.
He likes Mountain Dew Code Red.
Yes, he does.
He likes a little Shirley Temple. Like, he goes,
he loves a maraschino cherry.
Yeah, he goes to the bar. He asks for a Shirley Temple.
No, he goes up and he says, "Can I get a dirty Shirley?"
A dirty Shirley. Was that vodka in there?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really just like type negative blood.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the finale of season one, Prophecy Girl. We start off our episode with Xander pitching to Willow. He's like testing out a line on Willow that is meant for Buffy because he wants to ask her to the dance. And poor Willow. It's so obvious that like her feelings are hurt because she's like having to help him when she really likes him. Blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I just want Xander to get over Buffy.
Yeah, I knew that this was what I was going to do. And like, I kind of feel as though Xander has to know that Willow has feelings for him. So why you gotta make it awkward? And Willow's very tapped out with this. Like, he wants to try a few different ways. And she's just like, yeah, like, it's good. It's fine. And he just like is not getting it. And also, like, how and why does he think that he even has a chance with Buffy?
Because he's delusional. He's straight up Delulu. Xander. He's
Delulu.
He is. Learned. Like, and we'll talk about this because there's a moment later where I felt like they might have been seeding in Buffy, like changing her opinion on Xander. And I'm about to fucking riot if that shit happens. So.
I'm sure it's going to happen, Jess.
They probably will, but they can't end up together because it's
like 11 seasons or 8 seasons of the show. Maybe? It's going to happen, I'm sure. I mean, I'm not going to like it, but it's going to happen.
Well, just wait. I can't wait to rant about when that happens. But they're wondering, like, where Buffy is, what she could possibly be doing. It's like, I don't know. It's not like she has responsibilities as the Slayer or anything, Xander.
She's a busy woman. She has a job. Like, she basically is one of those kids that has a job after school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except her job is fighting vampires, which she's doing in the middle of the park. And in the background, we see this like steamy vehicle. And immediately I was like, what is that about? And we see Cordelia just making out with a guy in there. And I was like, get it, Cordelia. Yes.
So I don't think this guy is Keith, her boyfriend from last time.
No,
I think
this is a new guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Still generic white looking guy. But like,
she just hops from guy to guy. All power to you, Cordelia.
Yeah.
So
girl.
Cordelia is thinking that she's hearing something and is a little freaked out about it. And it's just Buffy fighting a vampire and like staking him. And we hear that it's been kind of like, the vampires have been buzzing. There's been a lot of vampires.
She's been kept very busy every single night, which you have to imagine is very tiring. Like, you go to school all day, then you fight vampires all night. When is your R&R? You know, when is your Buffy time? Seriously.
It's not going to be Sunday because I don't think that the vampires care about the day of rest.
They don't. They certainly don't. And then we get like a very Jurassic Park moment with Giles in his office. He has his little cup of tea. He's doing some research on the Codex. And as he's reading, like, the Master Shall Rise, it's like the whole table starts to like shake and quake. And then it's like a whole ass earthquake happening.
It's terrible, terrible news.
Have you California. Ever experienced an earthquake?
Yeah, yeah, like miniature earthquakes. I've experienced in New Jersey, and like it's not so big that you actually feel like it's an earthquake, but like a little rumbling. But yeah, I've experienced it before a few times.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I've experienced one earthquake, but going to high school, our high school was across the street from a factory, and they would do like, I don't know what they were called, but like they would blow something up or something, and it would shake the school, like it would shake the ground.
On purpose, or was this just a where there's just some irresponsible people that kept?
No, like, it was on purpose. Like it was on some sort of a schedule.
Interesting.
That I've experienced that, which I assume feels similar.
So but this then is it's the like, work of Daddy Vamps. Like this is
Hellmouth opening up. Yeah.
Oh.
Like I think it's on its way to opening up, and so like everything is shifting. Right. We're seeing like the ground is cracking in the library, which we know is where like Hellmouth will be. And Daddy Vamps is like using the force, and he's so excited about like the whole ground shaking.
I mean, I love that he's finding happiness.
I've never seen him smile so much. He says, "My time has come." He's thrilled.
It's basically his Christmas.
Yeah. And it seems like he's also like praying, which is kind of funny because he's looking up, you know, and he goes, "Glory." So excited.
Gloriana. Who does the Daddy Vamps pray to? That like little snake monster that we see later?
Oh, definitely. The thing that looked like a bunch of dicks with teeth. We'll talk about it. It looks like a dick with teeth.
I don't know what dicks you're seeing. The Anointed One does not seem that excited about this party.
He seems rather scared. And I feel like, okay, if Daddy Vamps was going to choose an underling, I just don't think the Anointed One is it. He needs someone who's going to revel in the chaos and, you know, kind of naughtiness
all
that it is being Daddy Vamps.
Are dead, Jessica.
Darla loved scheming and plotting and fucking shit up. The Anointed One, he's just not it. Bring back Darla, please.
She's dead.
I know.
She's dead.
Not over it.
We got the kid. And plus the prophecy said it's all about the kid. So
yeah.
We are big on prophecies. This is the prophecy girl episode.
Yes.
So we get the next day in school, Buffy comes with her snakeskin skirt and is like, "Why does the library look like shit? What happened over here?"
Yeah. She's like, "Are we safe in here?"
No.
And he says, "Yeah." And so he's been like, he's been hunting, you know, he's been doing research, and she's just like, "Well, I've been killing 3 vampires last night. Like, you know, one of them was almost to the school. Like, what is going on? Like, they're getting cockier. There's even more of them happening now." And she's like, I love Buffy being upset that Giles doesn't seem to care how hard she's working, especially because she broke her nail last night and she's wearing a stick on. And this is serious business.
Oh my God. This is so horrible. This is just terrible. So whenever I break a nail, it really is like full on depression. Mm-hmm. It really is. It is. I call it like, and then I have to fix it. And then I'm like, oh, I have to go into surgery with my fingernail. I mean, you really don't care, but I care.
I don't care. No,
I really,
I keep my nails so short that I don't think I could break them.
Ew.
I can't. I'm someone who, like, the minute I get dirt underneath my fingernails, it grosses me out to such an extent that I don't allow my nails to get that long to get dirt under them.
Yeah.
So
did you see my nails?
Wow. Ooh. Very red pearlescent.
They're like, it's like copper or like
rose. Is it in honor of Daddy Vamps' blood jacuzzi?
Yes.
Great. But yeah, it definitely seems like Giles is distracted. And we'll learn later it's because he's found out that in order, like, the prophecy says that Buffy is going to die and the master shall rise.
Yeah. I mean, I would be depressed too, but don't believe everything that you read in books. Books are a lie. They're a literal lie.
Yeah.
Maybe what is that book called again? The paradox? The
prophecy? Oh, the codex.
No, the codex.
Maybe the codex is just fiction. He didn't realize.
Yeah. Because I guess, like, quote unquote, Buffy dies, but, like, really just a little CPR from Xander brings her back as
is. We're going to talk about that too, but I really did not understand all of that scene. I got so confused. Yeah. So he's very bothered because he is a big believer in prophecy. Mm-hmm. And the issue, and this drives me crazy, is that even though the prophecy is about Buffy, and even though it ends with her dying, he wants to protect her from it and doesn't want to tell her. Tell me what else this reminds you of, Jessica.
Yeah. Every story has a prophecy where you're not allowed to tell them.
This is some Dumbledore shit. And we already had issue with that.
Yeah, we do.
Actually, this was probably... I mean, it was definitely before Dumbledore shit. So J.K. Rowling just stole this.
Timing is it's around the same time. No, it's the 90s. Yeah. Well, depending on which book you're talking about.
It was the second to last book where we found out that he was.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah.
Only
then
one can survive if only one can live or whatever.
Yeah. But either way, yeah. So there's like this whole prophecy about Buffy's going to die. But before all that is going to happen, Xander is the least smooth person ever. And he's like, oh, Willow, don't you have that thing? And she's like, oh yeah, I have that thing. And she looks so disappointed as she walks away. And Xander, this is when he takes the opportunity to ask out Buffy. He says, the spring fling is coming up and I want you to go to the dance with me as a date. And Buffy is like, I mean, I'm a little surprised Buffy didn't already realize that Xander had feelings for her, but I guess she's a little busy killing vampires. She says, like, we're friends. We've fought some, like, vampires together. It's been a good time. And Xander says, but I want more. And Buffy doesn't want to spoil their friendship. She's not into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that, it's probably not, like... Yes, I think that she doesn't want to, quote unquote, spoil their friendship, but I also think that he's not interested, or she's not interested.
This is one of those situations of she's just not that into you, bro.
She's very not that into you. And then he gets aggressive because he's like, what, just like some, do I not have to have a pulse for you to like me? It's like, no, you actually just can't be a dweeb. That's what it is.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I just don't handle rejection well. And I'm surprised. Let's just not like, ugh.
Yeah. So he gets a little aggy, aggressive, and I didn't like that from him because it's like she never showed any interest in you at all.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I feel like he should have prepared himself a little bit better for this being an option of her saying no, whether or not it's because she doesn't want to ruin their friendship or because she's interested in somebody else, right? Like, especially Sarah, he knows that she's into Angel. So how are you going to be upset with her for not being interested in you when you know that she likes Angel? And I really didn't appreciate when he throws that in her face. Like, it's really unfair of him because I feel like she did a good job of letting him down easy and he took it the wrong way, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, is there any use in just saying, like, I'll go to the dance with you and I'll dance with you, but we're just going as friends? Or does that only, like, feed into the crush?
I think it depends on the person. I wouldn't want to play that game with Xander because I feel like it would feed into the crush. Like, I think a certain type of person could handle that and understand, but I think he'd be like, this is my chance. Like, I'm going to woo her at the dance.
I mean, she feels bad about it because she doesn't want to hurt him, but also she's just in a really sucky position and I feel bad for him. For her. And also, like, she also does not have time to go to the spring fling.
No.
There is shit going down.
Hellmouth is opening up as we speak.
Wide open.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As Giles is really trying to get more information from other sources about the prophecy, and we see Miss Callender, who is there to help out, and she's in the know. She knows what's going on. Not totally, but
she is a techno-pagan, so she knows some shit.
Of course she is. Yeah.
She comes in and she's just like, oh, you're wearing the same clothes as yesterday. You didn't sleep much. I do love the addition of Miss Callender, like, being a fellow adult to help Giles. Sometimes it's a little imbalanced with him being, like, the only adult hanging around. So I did like Miss Callender's role here. And I like that she took it upon herself. She's like, listen, people send in strange shit to me all the time. I've been surfing the net, as one does. And so she found out that there was a cat last week that gave birth to a litter of snakes.
Creepy. That's a boy terrible.
Which one of these is the worst? So we have the cat giving birth to snakes. A family was swimming in a lake and the lake started to boil. A boy born with his eyes facing inward. They're all really bad.
They're all really bad.
Can you turn their eyes around? I mean, they are like, they're like circular. Can you just swivel them?
I think maybe. I mean, all of them are pretty bad, but I feel like, yes, you're starting to become human soup if you're in the lake that's boiling, but hopefully you can swim and get out of there. So maybe that's the least disturbing.
Yeah, that's just some – we're living through that. That's just called global warming, baby.
Global warming, yeah. I feel like if my cat gave birth to a litter of snakes, even though I do like snakes, I feel like that would be very scary. And disturbing.
It'd be really traumatizing. Yeah. I do think the boy born with his eyes facing the wrong way is the worst one if you can't reverse it.
Yeah. But it just seems like there's just a lot of fucked up shit happening in Sunnydale, which just makes me feel like, once again, get the fuck out of that town. Just leave.
Yeah. Yeah. And the interesting thing is then Miss Callender brings up the anointed one and Giles is like, oh, but he's dead. But it turns out that, like, no, he's definitely not dead. And it turns out that he's a lot younger than Giles originally thought. And so they're like, okay, well, I'll help you out. And I like Miss Callender pointing out to Giles too, like, I helped you with that jacked in internet demon. So you should trust me, which I think is very fair.
I mean, wouldn't, if somebody that is trying to gain your trust and then take advantage of you, wouldn't that be part of the plan?
Certainly, but what other choice does he have when Hellmouth is opening up? There's a prophecy that Buffy's going to die. Like, he needs help.
Yes, you're right. He really has no other choice.
So Cordelia is getting ready for the dance. Like, she's like, oh, we need all this help. She's talking to Nubo, Kevin, and she actually approaches Willow in the hallway, which, yes, she did the whole Regina George, like, oh, I really like your outfit, you know, lie, which Willow knows immediately.
It's a lie, yeah.
Listen, we have to give credit to Cordelia for even speaking to Willow in the hallway, I think. That's a big deal.
I suppose so, but she's just asking for her to do her a favor for her party.
Yeah, she needs help with the sound system.
Yeah. I mean, she's using Willow.
Certainly. But she says, but listen, I'll even talk to you at the dance. Big deal.
I do like how Willow is like, no, thank you. Actually, I'll help you, but like, you don't have to fake being nice to me. And she's really distracted because she sees Xander, who I think is like kicking his locker or something.
No, he's tossing a ball at a wall in school. And I'm like, how has he not gotten in trouble for this? Don't throw balls at walls. Throwing balls to the walls.
He's being a brat, essentially. Yeah. So she walks over and is like, hey, like, how did it go? Are you going to the dance with Buffy? And he's like, he's throwing a tantrum. He's like, no, she rejected me. I'm surprised, even though I shouldn't be. Everybody sucks. Girls blow. Buffy's just obsessed with Angel's vampire-ness. And, you know, and then this is so annoying. Then he asks Willow to go to the dance with her instead. And
Thank you, Willow. You yes. have the self-worth to be like, boy, bye. I am not your sloppy seconds, you loser.
Know Thank your goodness. Worth, Willow. I she appreciated this. Yes. And I like how she, the way she said it too, where it's like, you think I want to go to the dance with you and watch you wish you were there with Buffy? Like, no, thank you. I really liked this because I feel like a few episodes ago, I would have expected Willow to be like, yes, of course, Xander. Yeah. And I like that she's standing up for herself. It gives me hope for Willow.
Well, it also makes me feel as though Buffy, being Buffy's friend, is giving her confidence as well yeah. as like having a purpose and, you know, being a contributor to like saving the world. Like, she's gaining confidence and mm-hmm. self-worth within herself and realizes that she is more than somebody's sloppy seconds.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Sarah, I do need to ask you, is country music the music of pain?
For me, I really associate classical music with the music of pain oh. because the reason being is that they always play at doctor's offices and it gives me such bad anxiety.
Yeah.
Because like when I hear classical music, I just think about waiting in the waiting room at like the dentist's office or something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is, how do you feel about classical? I mean, not classical, country.
But country or music. Classical, for sure. I don't know. I can understand where he's coming from because it's like, oh, my woman left me and all I have is my truck and a bear. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. I get it. But no, I think any music can honestly be like sad. But I mean, sure, Xander, go listen to some country music. Make yourself feel better.
Be a sad boy. Live your yeah. sad boy life.
Yeah, go do that. Buffy, meanwhile, is in the bathroom just at the sink. And suddenly we have a miniature blood jacuzzi in the sink in the what is this, in the locker room or something?
Yeah. It's like I've seen recently people putting Diet Coke dispensers on their kitchen counter. And this is basically just that. Like, Daddy Vamps is like, I want my blood on tap.
This is what would happen if Daddy Vamps, Winston is very upset about Daddy Vamps. This is what would happen if Daddy Vamps got elected, is he's yes. like, blood water fountains for everybody. Like, we will have your blood on tap. We'll have A negative. We'll have B negative. We'll have every kind you want.
Different flavors, right? Mm-hmm. So did this actually happen, or was this like at first I thought this was a fantasy.
No, this actually happened. I think it's a sign that like Hellmouth is opening up.
Oh, it's like, it's a continuation of Snakes from Cats.
Exactly. So she goes in to tell Giles about this, but Giles is meeting with Angel talking about the codex. And Giles is like really upset because this is when he tells Angel that like, no, Buffy's going to die. She's going to face the master and she's going to die. And Buffy is listening in on this. And I thought she was just going to like sneak away or something, but no, instead she like makes her presence known by just laughing. And she's just like, oh, okay, that's it then. One Slayer dies, next one's called. Wonder who's next. Will you train her? Are they going to send somebody else? Like, I mean, I can understand her being like very frustrated and over it at this point.
She was losing it. She was basically, I think this was like a mini anxiety attack, to be honest with you. Like, I think that she was just like, I'm done. Like, I am totally done. Like, this is, her mind was spiraling.
Yeah. And I thought the acting, honestly, from Sarah Michelle Gellar was really good because she, all throughout this episode, when she is like on the verge of tears, I feel like the acting is 10 out of 10. Like, she's doing such a good job of like playing a very scared teenage girl who is like, has so much responsibility on her shoulders and yet is being told that, oh, you're going to die.
Straight up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like, what is she to do? Like, she can't quit and the world needs her. And she's really in a position with her hands tied. It's must be frustrating. And then on top of that, like her, her guy, Angel, and her mentor, Giles, are talking behind her back about her and her future. And that's frustrating too, because like she's getting left out of these conversations for her own protection. And that is, it's bullshit. Like it's really bullshit. It's like, you know, if you're going to have her have the responsibility as an adult and to save the world, then treat her as such.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. It's, I can only imagine the frustration where she walks in on this conversation happening about her, but she's not being informed that like she could die. Because Giles does it. He's like, I was hoping I wouldn't have to. Like he's trying to find a way around the prophecy, essentially. And in like to Buffy's point, she's the one who's putting her life on the line every time she's fighting these vampires. Angel is a vampire. He's undead. He's not going to die. Giles is usually kind of doing the research behind the scenes in the comfort of the library. His like neck isn't usually on the line as much. So you can understand how she's like very frustrated and is like, I'm just going to quit then. Don't tell me how to do this. Like, I'm just going to quit. And I thought one of the most like effective lines was when she yanks the cross off of her neck, like the necklace that she has. And she says, I'm 16 years old. I don't want to die. Like that was like really brutal. And I feel like it's very much like the reality of the situation. Like this is a heavy burden to put on her.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. And once again, she has no say in the matter and, you know, she can quit, but honestly, can she? Because if she's destined to fight Daddy Vamps, then she's destined to fight Daddy Vamps. Were you worried about her throwing her cocaine necklace on the ground?
I mean, yes, because first of all, like that was a gift from Angel, right? So she was like smacking him in the face with it. It was very, very much a vibes of throwing your engagement ring in like a lake or something. And like she might need that little bit of a bump when she's fighting the vampires. Like, girl, what about your cocaine necklace? You need that little boost.
Just a little bit of extra energy.
Yeah, need some sugar.
Yeah,
sugar, booger, I mean, like, sugar.
Oh my god, I've never heard that before.
Yes, you haven't heard booger sugar?
No.
What?
Did you make that up?
I definitely did not.
I think that spiced Coke Zero is like getting so to your
bad.
Brain.
It's so bad. I keep drinking it because I need to finish it, but ugh,
you don't need to finish it. It could just go in the drain. So that was a very brutal scene. I feel for Buffy and it was very well acted. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. So then we're in Willow's room and she's like studying. She sees a picture of like her and Xander. And so she calls him and you know what? I will amend my previous statement and say that specifically Patsy Cline music is sad music. Every one of Patsy Cline's songs, and she was like very much a country star, but I feel like it crosses over into like the pop territory at certain times, kind of like a early version of Taylor Swift, if you will. Like I Fall to Pieces is such a sad song and that's what he's listening to, and like they couldn't drama. Have picked a better song for this scene, to be honest. Like it's, it's
absolutely
really funny.
Drama. We see Xander's room, which my only descripting factor is that it looks like it smells in there.
It's a fucking pigsty. You're nasty, Xander. Clean your fucking room.
He has magazines everywhere. It looks dingy. He has his like feet on his headboard. It just looks like it smells like feet in there.
Yeah, it really looks gross. Compared to Buffy's room, which looks very nice and well kept, even though she's a slayer and she has a lot else on her plate, she manages to clean her room, Xander.
That's true. Why is Xander not cleaning his room?
Yeah, maybe he spends too much time in there because he's just a lonely boy with no friends. Yeah. But yeah, I did think it was nice to see Buffy's mom be a mom for like a second in this episode. Like she notices that Buffy really didn't eat much of her dinner. Mm-hmm. And Buffy wants to like spend time with her mom, do like a mother-daughter thing, like on the weekend. And you could tell the reason she's doing this is like she thinks she's gonna die. So she wants to like spend time with her mom. And it kind of
interpreted
broke my heart.
It differently, actually.
Oh, okay, do tell.
I thought that she was trying to run from having to fight the prophecy. So if they left town, then she wouldn't be in town while hell mouth opened and then she wouldn't die. Like, I thought that she was trying to find alternate plans.
You could be right.
To, like,
yeah.
Run from the issue.
Yeah, especially because she wants, she says, let's get away. Let's go away. Very much vibes of a scene in Gilmore Girls, which you haven't seen Gilmore Girls, so you wouldn't understand. But there's a scene with Lorelai and Rory that gives me these same vibes. And it really, okay, it kind of broke my heart because, and I know her mom has responsibilities. Like she says, like the gallery is open on the weekend. I don't know, Sarah, I almost wanted... Her mom knows something's up, right? Like, she's not eating much. She looks sad. She looks like she's going through turmoil. I almost wanted her mom to be like, you know what? Let me get someone to cover for me. Like, we'll stay in on Saturday and, like, watch a bunch of bad movies and eat ice cream or something. Like, I just wanted her to – and I know maybe that's not realistic to hope for, but I just felt like Buffy really needed someone to be like, no, I will be here and I will take care of you.
I think that's the plight of a single parent because, of course, yeah. Joyce wants to get away with her daughter and spend the weekend with her. But at the end of the day, like, she has responsibilities. She has to make money to take care of herself and Buffy and this new house. Like, I think that there's a lot of sacrifices that single parents have to make. And this was just one of them. But she does. And also, like, I don't think that she realizes, like, she's crying about having to, like, die in a few days. She just thinks that she's crying about a boy. And she tries to cheer Buffy up by saying, like, hey, like, I know you have a big dance going on. And I know that you were looking at this, like, cute, fancy dress at the mall. I bought it for you, which I thought was, like, talking about, like, good mom stuff. Like, I thought that was very sweet.
Yeah, because we can give her credit for not just like paying attention and noticing that Buffy liked this dress, but obviously didn't want to ask for it because of the cost and finding a way to make that work and get it for her. I really liked these moments from Joyce. Obviously, you make up a really good point about being a single parent, and obviously she doesn't always have the ability to just not go to work. It was just more like I saw Buffy so sad and I only wanted someone to be like, I will do whatever it takes and I will be there for you. You know what I mean? Like, she just looks so, so sad. But I really, this dress, I thought, was like, obviously they had to make it white because, you know, it's good versus evil and good is always like white, you know? She looks very pure and innocent. I loved this dress. Like, I thought it was such, I feel like this is very iconic. Because the moments with the dress where she's like fighting in the dress, I don't know. It just, it looks so good. I feel like it fit her very well. It's very like simple, but like classic. It doesn't age poorly. You know what I mean, Sarah? We talk a lot about like fashion in these 90s shows and it doesn't always age well. This is a timeless classic dress.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, it does feel very 90s, but I think it's something that I can see people wearing today. It's like has a high empire waist and like a rhinestone like belted trim to it. It was pretty, and I definitely think that it fit the bill of, I mean, just like a teenage girl fighting evil in like a pretty dress. Like, it's very very fitting to kind of like what the headlines of this show is.
Yeah, exactly. And they have a cute little conversation about like her mom when she went to prom and she met Buffy's dad there, but they had different dates. They didn't go together, which she's like, oh, a different story for a different time.
I want to know that story.
Me too. I want to hear what Joyce got up to. She was into some shenanigans, which I like to hear about. But yeah, so they have a nice little moment, and then we're at the school and Cordelia and Willow are together and they're talking about like, Kevin said he was going to bring everything, but he didn't. And they like peek in on this room and it looks like the guys are just like watching cartoons. And I love Cordelia when she looks in, she turns around and she's like, oh, that's cute. That's not cute. That's annoying. I'm annoyed.
She's like catching herself. She's like, wait a minute. I have to be like a terrible wench. Yes. Okay. So you want to hear something that was like kind of funny in my head? I don't know why, but a part of me was like, is there a way that Xander got murdered by I'm like, is there a way that he does not continue on to season two? And yeah. I was hoping, but no, he wasn't in the room.
No, he was not in the room where it happened. They're watching like Porky Pig. And there were so many close-up shots of Willow watching Porky Pig where I was like, are we missing something? Like, is there some like hidden mystery in this episode of Porky Pig?
No, I think
we just see like a bloody handprint. And yeah, they basically, this entire room of students, it looked like at least four people, I think, were killed by vampires.
Maybe five. I don't know. Yeah. It was very interesting because like Willow was very shaken up by this. And we've seen Willow see plenty of dead people. But
yeah,
finally, somebody is acting appropriately to a death within the school.
I thought that this was alongside Sarah Michelle Gellar. I thought that the acting from, what is her name again? Can you remind me the actress?
Allison Hannigan.
I thought her acting as Willow was also really good this episode. Like the terror on her face, right? Like, and like the PTSD. I felt like I was finally happy to see people being like, instead of just being like, shrugs, that's Hellmouth for you.
I know. And and it was getting so old as well, because it was just like, why does nobody care about anybody dying? But the fact that like, I don't know, maybe it was just like a five people that are dead that she like probably grew up with. And finally she was like very traumatized by this.
Yeah, I loved, so Buffy's like in her dress when her mom comes running in and says like there's something on the news. So Buffy goes to see Willow, who she looks so tiny, like curled up on her bed. Like I feel like they did a really good job at just making her look so young and like innocent. And yeah, she says like, I thought I could take anything, but this is different. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I knew those guys. I go to that room every day. And when I walked in there, it wasn't our world anymore. They made it theirs. They had fun. Like, it just, yeah, she's seeing that, like, yes, it's fun to like, you know, go take care of vampires and everything, but this is the reality. Like when people get hurt and die, like that was actually the reality. And I had to see it. I thought they did a really good job with the scene.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was really well acted by these two women, and the tears in the eyes are just so authentic. And I just feel like they are both feeling the weight of the weight of what's happening.
Yeah. It's no surprise to me that like both of these women go on to have like pretty good acting careers, because like they're really young and they're killing it in these like very emotional scenes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the tears from Willow, God, 10 out of 10. So good.
Yeah. The singular tear down the face is very good. Yeah. So Buffy asks Willow to please stay inside today. And I think that this is where Buffy changes her mind about like running off and hiding. She's just like, you know, like it's my responsibility, and which is very big of her, but it is the responsibility that is bestowed on her that she feels like she has to fight this.
Especially when it's affecting someone she loves, right?
Like, well, yeah, I think that that's what makes her realize, like, you know what, this is my responsibility, because like people that I care about are going to die if I don't try to fight this.
Yeah, exactly. We get a little bit of an update from the master. He's testing basically the border to see if he can like escape the underground at this point that he's been in for 3 score. And he has the anointed one with him. And he says, soon. He's like he's getting really excited because soon he's going to get out from underground.
Yeah. He's no longer going to have to mime against the vortex wall.
Yeah. That was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So then we're back to the library with Giles and Miss Callender, and he's getting Miss Callender caught up to date. So she kind of does a little bit of a recap for us of the master tried to open the Hellmouth, but he got stuck in it. And now everything from their readings have suggested that he's going to get out, which will open Hellmouth, which will bring the demons, and that will end the world.
That's a lot. I appreciate the recap, Miss Calendar. I really, really do. Mm-hmm. I hope that you and Giles had a nice little session in the sex cage.
Yeah, I think the thing is, Sarah, I think there were like some people think that Giles is really boring and can't listen to his British accent. So we'll have Miss Calendar do a little bit of a recap so people can pay attention this time.
You know, it's the first time I actually understand what's happening.
She did recap it in a really quick way. She was very succinct.
So. That's what I need. I need the headlines.
Yeah. So she's talking about like, oh, like a signal was sent out. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf, the lion, and the fatling together.
You lost me.
Yeah. Giles, what are you talking about?
Is that what he said that shit?
He said it. Yeah.
I'm done. I'm sorry. Just be like, yeah, like everyone's a little fucked. And I'm like, yeah. I respect. I understand. Yes. Everybody is a little fucked. It's true.
Yeah. And Giles is like saying, well, the anointed one is going to lead Buffy into hell. And Miss Calendar is saying, well, Luca thinks that the anointed one is a kid. And Giles is like, well, shit, we thought Buffy killed the anointed one, but we need to warn her if that's the case. Yeah. And Giles, this is where I feel like if you weren't a Giles fan before, I feel like now should be the moment that people turn around on Giles and love him. I already liked him, but like his plan is because I think he really took to heart what Buffy said about being like a 16-year-old girl not ready to die. He plans on facing the master himself instead of Buffy.
I don't think that this endeared me to him. I was just like, you're stupid. Like, you can't do anything. Like, you are just I'm not just, but you are a watcher. You're not a slayer. Like, you, it's a suicide mission. You're gonna go out there and try to fight the master. Like, you can't do it. I didn't think that this endeared me to him. I was like, this is a stupid plan. And I like the fact that Buffy knocked him out because she was just like, this is stupid, this is a bad plan, you can't do it. There's a reason why you're a watcher and I'm a slayer and you stay.
Yes, but I thought it was admirable, right, for him to say to Buffy, you were right. Like, I've been around these books for so long, I don't even know what the real world is like anymore. And that, like, I want to try to do this for you. But Buffy is, like you said, she's already, listen, she's in her prom dress with a leather jacket on top. She is a badass bitch ready for fucking business. Yeah, she looks
very cool. I just thought that it was, like, a dumb move, like, to be honest with you. Like, he would just get himself killed.
Certainly, but I appreciated that he was willing to make a sacrifice to save Buffy. You know, it just shows that he, like, really does care about her. And he, listen, I think a lot of times when it comes to high school characters and adults, they don't actually listen to what the high schoolers are saying. A lot of it is like very condescending, like, I know more than you. Yeah. But it to me, it proves that he listened to what she was saying and he took it to heart. And like, he really does want to help her. But I do like it. I do like it that she just punches him in the face and knocks him out.
Yeah, exactly. And she collects her weapons of choice, which today is that a crossbow? Is that what that is?
She took a crossbow and she took her cross necklace back. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love her telling Miss Calendar that when he wakes up, tell him, think of something cool and tell him I said it.
Perfect. That sounds so much like me, where I'm like, just like, you say the words and make sure it sounds cool. Totally fine. So she goes outside and she runs into the anointed one, who's like, hello, like, do you want Girl Scout cookies? And she's like, bitch, I know who you are and why you're here. You can't fool me, but lead me to the master and I will go.
Yes. This is what I was disappointed in. And the reason is, it felt like the whole point of having the anointed one be a kid was to do some tricksy hijinks. Yeah, and I was annoyed that they spoiled the tricksy hijinks. Okay, like, it was a bit up. Like wah wah when Buffy's like, I know who you are.
Okay. Hold up. Does this break the prophecy? Because the prophecy said, you will be lured inside the dungeon by the kid. She already knows who he is. Therefore, this disrupts the prophecy. Yeah. Like, she's not, like, lured there. She chooses to go there. Like, she has, which, okay, my issue with prophecies is that you don't have any choice in the matter. Like, you know, destiny is chosen for you. Yes. You don't have, like, your own self-will. But by her choosing to go to the master and not get lured by like a little kid, that breaks the prophecy already. So it's
this, like, is a very assessment. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's interesting because like the prophecy was that she's going to get lured into the thing and then she's going to get killed.
Yeah. Especially because it's supposed to be like, oh, he's a kid and she doesn't know that, but she does know that now.
Yeah. So like maybe in a way Giles did help. Well, actually that guy on the phone helped. Who was the guy? Kenny?
Lucas or something?
Lucas? Who's Lucas?
Someone that the techno-pagan Miss Calendar knows. It's part of her techno-pagan book club.
Okay, well, Lucas saved the day. Whoever the fuck Lucas is, he's the one that saved the day.
Yeah. So yeah, this is when Buffy follows the Anointed One in. And then Willow and Xander get to the library and they find out, oh, that she like found out about the prophecy and she went all by herself. And yeah, everyone is like freaking out. Xander is all pissed off at Giles. Like, how could you let her go? And he's like, she knocked me out. I didn't let her do anything.
I know. And then isn't Xander's like, I'm going to go help. Like,
yeah,
you have no jurisdiction here. You have no talents. Like, you should not be going to help. Like, Angel should be going to help.
Well, that's why he knows. Oh, because he doesn't know where Buffy went, but he knows that Angel will know. So he's like, I'm going to go talk to Angel, which again, I don't know why buddy system is key here, people. I don't know why we're not buddying up.
I mean, she did buddy up. She buddied up with the Anointed One. What are you talking about? I'm so confused. Yeah. I just like don't understand what Xander thinks that he's going to do. Like, he really thinks that he can fight the baddest vampire in all the land in season one.
No one knows cockiness like teenage boys.
Facts. Yeah. Absolute facts. Cut to my teenage boyfriend telling me that he needs magnums when he did not.
He's like, yeah, my dick is so thick. Let me get that magnum condom.
Yep. And I bought it.
Like juniors.
I bought it because he told me he needed it, but you did not need it. But
that's also dangerous if you're using the wrong size condom, because that's how condoms fall off.
Well, we didn't have penetration, so it's fine.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, he, like, sweeps up Angel, and then they're like, we're going to save the day together because only men can be vampires and save the day. And us as two men can help Buffy, who is the Slayer.
Yeah, and I feel like Xander takes the wrong approach here because Angel, rightfully so, is like, Xander, you're a fucking idiot. Like, the Master's going to murder the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
And Xander is like, listen. And he holds up a cross to Angel's face and he's like, I don't like you.
We know that. Is this Angel's house?
Yeah, this is his apartment.
Why have we not seen this apartment?
We've been
yet?
Here. Remember when Darla came in? We've seen
it.
Oh,
right. We've seen his apartment before. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's basically like, well, you're going to come with me and you're going to help me. And they both have that moment where they're like, you're in love with her? You too?
That's so stupid. I just wish Angel could just be like, go the fuck away.
Yeah, grow up, bro. I'm like hundreds of years old. You're a child. Yeah.
You are a child. Yeah. But I guess like the threat of the wooden cross was enough for Angel to be persuaded.
I guess maybe he was hoping like, listen, we will go save Buffy. Xander will die. Mm-hmm. And then I will be able to save the day.
I have a question. Do you think a wooden Star of David would have the same effect?
I think it has to be a cross.
Okay.
Most people are and might maybe should be afraid of Christians. Like, it makes sense when you think about it.
I don't think I'm allowed to say anything about that.
I am. This is the one situation where I get to speak up about religion, Sarah. So he convinces Angel or whatever, they're gonna tag team it, and we have Giles and Miss Calendar on research duty, and so they're talking about, okay, well, we know Hellmouth is gonna open, but where is it gonna open? And I feel like Giles should have been like, well, there was this crazy earthquake that caused like literal cracks in the foundation of the library.
His little brain got knocked around a little by Buffy, so maybe he just kind of forgot about it a little.
It's a little wild.
Yeah. Now we have a homecoming party, like a housewarming party. I'm really happy that Buffy got to come over to celebrate Daddy Vamps's big day.
Yeah. She didn't really bring, you're always supposed to bring something for someone for a housewarming.
That
she
would
bring
be
a
polite.
Plant or anything. Although to be fair, it's underground, so it would have been hard to find a plant that could live.
Maybe like a goblet set. He would love that.
He would love that.
I'm thinking like the Love is Blind gold goblets.
With some gems on it. His can be red, obviously, his favorite color.
Yeah, it has to be uncut.
Yeah.
So she's brought in by the Anointed One. She looks around. She's very scared. She looks at his interior design work and is like, you know what? Maybe not my taste. I kind of like mid-century modern better, but not bad. And then Daddy Vamps comes out and he is like, guess what? I'm here.
Yeah, and in the middle of him talking, Buffy attempts to like take him out with the crossbow bolt, but he's too fast. He's the master. He's Daddy Vamps. You're not going to be able to kill him with a crossbow bolt.
No. He catches it like the boss that he is.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Angel and Xander are trying to figure out where the entrance is to the lair. And Xander, being fucking stupid, it's like, oh, I saw you looking at my neck, bro. Is my neck making you hot, bro? Yeah, you turned on by my neck, bro. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up, Xander. Shut the fuck up.
I just want Angel to like push him with a finger and him to go like flying across the room.
Yes.
That would be so satisfying.
And he's like, Xander is doing the thing that you do with children where you're like, did you go to the bathroom? Do you have to go to the bathroom before we get in the car? And they're like, no. And you get in the car and they're immediately like, I had to go to the bathroom. He's like, I told you to eat before we left.
Oh my gosh.
Stop it.
Yeah. I'm sure that Angel has zero interest in Xander's blood and neck.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Giles, Miss Callender, and Willow are still researching and they're talking about, like, wait a minute, where was the harvest? They realize it was at the Bronze. And so they're like, I think we need to like go to the Bronze and warn people because there's that big party there. I love Miss Callender offering. She's like, no, Willow and I will go. You have to concentrate on demon killing. Just such a casual conversation. Yeah, you focus on the demon killing. I'll take Willow to the party.
Yeah, I like the preventative research that they're doing. They're like, in the assumption that the demons are going to get released no matter what, what do we do?
Yeah, it's a good call. Meanwhile, Buffy is roaming around the master's lair and we find out the master loves edging. He's just like, I want this moment to last, baby. She keeps accusing him of hiding. And he's like, the longer it lasts, the better I feel, Buffy.
I love a little casual game of hide and seek in the apartment. And I think it's like really nice that she's getting an apartment tour before she dies.
The mood lighting was excellent. The ambiance, 10
out of
10. Very
Phantom of the Opera.
Yes, the Daddy Vamps of the lair is here.
Inside my mind. And it's like, think
it
of
honestly
me.
Works though, because you can see him wanting to cover up that face.
Oh no. Yeah, he's like, all I ask of you is for you to die so I can get out of this place.
As Willow and Miss Callender try to get to her car, they notice like, bunch of vampires on their way over here. This isn't good.
It's not good.
No, not at all. And then like, okay, maybe I'm not remembering something, but does suddenly the master have like the force? Because he like is able to get Buffy to freeze in place with just his hand, like not even touching her.
Yeah, like I think that he got some extra powers. Mm-hmm. Or like I think that maybe like he does his little finger wiggles, his little
his finger wiggles
and she's
he does
in, like,
jazz hands.
And then she gets like entranced by the finger dancing.
So it's similar to what do they call it when they like mask who they are? little glamour. It's like similar to a glamour, but it's like hypnosis.
Yeah. Like he's like, oh, let me do my little finger wiggles. Mm-hmm. And she's like, ooh, those are really good finger wiggles.
I'm look at those nails.
I'm so impressed by not only your nails, but also how your fingers move. And then she gets distracted. And then, yeah, like she gets lured in. And then he does like a little bit of like dick on ass time, and he's like, let me whisper into your ear.
He whispers sweet nothings into her ear as he like does the like baby it's cold outside stay a minute and takes off her jacket, her leather jacket. Yeah. And he whispers into her ear, like, again, this guy gets off on this shit. I was so surprised he didn't like take his hand and put it on her cross just to like burn himself a little bit at the same time.
Yeah, he's, he likes a little bit pain of with his pleasure.
He does. He says, you're the one that sets me free.
Ooh, yes. So this is the part of the prophecy that of course was left out. This is why I hate prophecies, man. Like every single time, it is never clear. There's always missing information. It's always a bunch of fuckery.
Yeah.
So and then he like bites her and like kills her a little bit.
Yeah. So he bites her neck, and we all know he came at the same time he did, because he bites her neck and he goes, oh God.
Yeah. I mean, he's been waiting so long for this moment, and finally like the release of
pleasure. The power. He's been edging for 80.
God,
he has a real bad case.
That's a rough one, I'm not gonna lie.
And my favorite, one of my favorite moments in terms of silly moments in this episode is he drops her and she face plants into like this koi fish pond he has.
No, not the blood jacuzzi.
It wasn't the blood jacuzzi, at least. There was no blood. It was just water. It was just murky water. Wait,
he has murky. He really does
have. He has a koi pond.
Oh my gosh.
You didn't know about the koi pond?
No, I don't remember.
I think he wanted a water feature that the anointed one could like play in. And so he's like, you're not going to get a fuzzy pet because I'm afraid we'll drink all its blood. But you can get a fish.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so lucky of him.
He's such a good dad.
Such a good dad. So
Papa Vamps. Nice.
Yeah. I'm glad that it wasn't the blood jacuzzi, because it would stain the white dress.
Yes. And it would look really bad.
I just rewatched the flop. She like belly flopped.
It's so
in there.
Funny. Yeah. It's so extra.
Wait, that pond is very Phantom of the Opera. That's where you have like your boat and like the gondola moment. And that's where he's singing.
Oh my gosh. It's so perfect. I need that as a gift to like, it's like when someone's like, how tired are you? And you reply with that gift. You just
Do you know how to make gifts? I don't know.
Someone will do it.
Okay. Somebody do it. Yeah. So basically he is now released because I guess by sucking on her blood and killing her, the curse is broken. I don't know. But luckily Xander and Angel find her and they're like, she's dead. But then they're like, she drowned?
So they're like, she's dead. And Angel says, she's not breathing. And Xander says, oh, but she's drowned. We need to give her CPR. And Angel says, you have to do it. I have no breath.
what a conundrum.
So ridiculous.
I don't understand. Like, I thought that she died from the bite, not from drowning. This makes no sense. And I was like, is she dead? Is she not dead?
Didn't understand how she died either. Because I was like, really? One bite killed her? But I guess when she was face down in the koi pond for a bit, she just drowned down there.
So then she wakes up and she's acting like, oh, I feel so powerful. I feel so different. So then I was like, wait a minute. Is she like a vampire
now? I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, she's a vampire now. That's interesting. But yeah, Xander does CPR on her. She wakes up. She feels powerful. She's ready to go kick some ass. Meanwhile, I really love Cordelia. She's has her car and she's fucking ready to save the day. Our hero Cordelia, she yells at Willow and Miss Callender to get in the car. She says, I was sitting where Kevin and I used to park, and all of a sudden these things are coming at me. And the fucking vampire jumping on the car really cracked me up.
It's like driving and it's like waggling around.
Oh my gosh. It's like, did you ever go to the drive-through safari at Six Flags and the monkeys jump on your car?
What?
Well, they don't do anymore, but like years and years ago when I was like a teenager, like it was a drive-through safari in Six Flags Great Adventure in Jersey, and like the animals would get like really close and the freaking monkeys would like jump on your car.
Yeah.
And cause some chaos.
Jesus Christ. I know. I've never heard of this.
That's crazy. Wild. It was very wild. So yeah, there people are jumping in the car and they run to the library, and Cordelia is like very much helping. She like blocks the door. It's nice to see Cordelia contribute.
Yeah, I was really into this. First of all, she smashes through. She doesn't even park outside the school. She's like, you know what? We're going to drive right into it. Yeah. She gets in there. She's helping block doors. She's making herself very useful, which I appreciated. And I love, I don't remember when it happens, but when she bites a vampire and she goes, how do you like it?
Not very much. I don't like it very much.
It was my favorite. I absolutely adored it. I thought it was so, so, so funny. But yeah, at the same point in time, as they're trying to blockade the library doors, we see just one little tentacle popping out of the ground.
Yes.
Not good.
Uh-oh. Not good. Mm-hmm. Not good. Danny Vamps is on the top of what I would assume the school's roof.
I think so. Yeah, because later when he falls through the window, he falls like into the library.
Right.
Because if this you is just got out,
yes.
This makes sense to me. If I was underground for 3 score, like Daddy Vamps was, the first place I'd want to do is go up as far up to the sky as I could get.
Oh, that's a good point. Is this the highest point in Sunnydale?
I think it's at least the highest point on school grounds.
Sure, but he has to go here because this is where the mouth of hell opens up to.
Exactly.
So he has to, this is the location to go.
Yeah. So then there's like, oh my gosh, there's more vampires coming in through the stacks. And so Miss Callender and Willow go over there to try to block it off. But suddenly there's all kinds of tentacles coming up from Hellmouth. One grabs Willow's ankle. It looks like intestines, like yanking.
Yeah, it looks very gross. Nothing is good here.
No, I will say, because like I know we make fun of like some of the CGI and stuff in the show, I thought they did a really good job on the, what is it called, real effects or whatever, of like the actual like prosthetic monsters. Like I thought they looked really gross, you know, like they really to me looked like kind of like sperm or penises with teeth.
Like I don't know what I was looking at, but it was something and it was scary, and that was good enough for me.
That's what she said. So
this montage of Buffy, Angel, and Xander walking with the opening music really did it for me.
Me too, especially when they just walk by one vampire and they just trip him.
Yeah. She is a badass bitch, and she is, her hair's like all slicked and dirty and messy, and she has her dress, and it like she looks so cool. So badass, and she is a woman on a mission and is like, I am going to fuck everybody up. And Angel goes into his ugly vampire face, and Xander pretends to be useful, and she realizes that she has to go up to the roof and is like, I have to do this on my own. You guys stay down here.
Yes.
And then we have Cordelia biting.
Love it. Absolutely adore it. Buffy gets up on the roof with the master and he says, you're dead. And she says, I may be dead, but I'm still pretty, which is more than I can say for you.
Yeah. I saw that as a gif at one point in time. And I'm glad that it was earlier than later. And like, she's not dead. She's not dead.
She's not dead. She's not even undead. Like, if we're going by, I guess she drowned, but she was saved by Xander. Like, okay. Yeah. Well, but yeah, so he's, and the interesting thing is he tries to do the force on her again and like hypnotize her. And she like pretends that it works, but it actually doesn't.
Yeah.
And I'm like wondering, okay, is there something in like him feeding on her that gave her like immunity to his powers?
That's what I was thinking. I think that by him feeding on her or biting her, she absorbed some of his power. I agree with that. Also, he didn't do the spirit fingers. So
that's what was lacking. It would have worked if he had just done spirit fingers.
Yes. Yeah. So she tricks him and then winds up punching him. And then they're doing their slappy slappy kicky kickies.
Yeah. While... And this is after she says he has fruit punch mouth, which is one of my favorite insults.
Very funny line because he does. And then downstairs, everybody else is doing their kicky kicky punchy punchies. Giles, Miss Calendar, Cordelia, and Willow are fighting off the sperm monster.
Yes.
And then Angel and Xander are fighting off random vampires. And everyone's doing their part. Everyone's contributing.
Yeah, everyone's doing their best.
Yes. And Daddy Vamps has Buffy in a chokehold and is like killing her. And she realizes that there's a giant wooden stake bit on the bottom.
Yes.
And picks him up, throws him over. He crashes through the glass of the roof, lands right on the giant wooden stake thing. And we see like black smoky bat type figure stuff, like something.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I feel like we've always seen anytime a vampire gets staked, it's been like very much like a dustiness, right? Like ashes to ashes, dust to dust sort of stuff.
Yes, yes.
This time though, it's prolonged and it's like black energy and there's a skeleton remaining, which is weird. Has never happened before. Like usually it's everything disappears, but now there's a skeleton remaining.
That was weird. What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, you have to imagine Daddy Vamps is gone, but
yeah,
they didn't dispose of his skeletal remains.
Yeah, I don't know where the skeletal remains are. I can see him just like coming back as like a skeleton, and then like maybe like we get like a tap dancing skeleton moment.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean? That would be fun.
Yeah. But, yeah,
I mean, jazz fingers and everything, he knows what he's doing.
Yes. But and then because like he gets absorbed in murder, like also the Hellmouth closes up and like that monster gets sucked back in, and seemingly it looks like they save the day, they accomplish the task, and everybody goes and has like a little wake for Daddy Vamps and is like, we knew him well, not bad, but and
he lived how he died.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. So he's dead. He's gone. And like everybody, and it's a very unsettling feeling how this episode ends, because for me, like, I was like, I don't really know what I trust. And Buffy seems very discombobulated and upset. And like, I think it's because like she died a little bit. And
yeah, it was really interesting. Like, she's like crying, you know, like I do like Giles saying like, oh, I should have known that you dying wouldn't stop you, you know, like but she's like, it was weird because she says like, well, he's not going anywhere, loser, and I'm like, okay, does that mean he is gonna go somewhere and he's gonna be back? Like, I always am thinking it's not what they're saying, you know what I mean? Like, you're always like reading into everything, but it was disconcerting. Like, it was like, and suddenly the fight is over and they're just kind of left with like all this like mess, and Hellmouth was there, and like all these, I mean, the vampires are all gone, everything's gone, so at least they don't have a ton of mess to clean up in terms of bodies and whatnot. That's the nice thing about vampires, is they're, you know, recyclable material, they just evaporate, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, very, very good. And they're like, hey, like, there's still the party, let's go to the party. And Buffy is like, well, I'm all dressed pretty, like, let's go to the party. And
I think
go.
You need to stop in the bathroom real quick, though, girl. Like, just a just little touch-up. Like, touch up. Your hair is pretty wet, and also you have some, like, you know, jazz hand scrapes from Daddy Vamps on your chest. You know, I think a little touch-up, I think.
Yeah, and we end the season with a shot hovering over Daddy Vamps' skeleton, and it, like, pulls back. And I'm just, like, I didn't wait. Sometimes don't they have little ending credit scenes, maybe?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think we got one.
No, I don't think we did either. But I do think it's like, yeah, I think we should kind of make our predictions right now. Like, will Daddy Vamps return?
No, I think that we're on to bigger and badder.
I think so too. But just for funsies, I will say yes, because there was a lingering shot. So I don't think it's a 0% chance, you know?
I just think that's going to come back as like the anointed one. Maybe we'll have like, it looks like Daddy Vamps and he'll just look like a mini Daddy Vamps.
Yeah. Okay. So are you ready to get into some feedback from the finale of season one of Buffy?
I would love to.
All right. Let's hear what Joy has to say.
Hey guys, Joy here. It's been a minute since I've done one of these, so hopefully I get it under the 2-minute mark. So, Prophecy Girl, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got some fun lines, it's got some drama, it's got an amazing, amazing acting job by Sarah Michelle Gellar. Like, I don't know who can't, like, who isn't moved by that speech that she gives when she finds out about said prophecy. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched that today to prepare for this and was moved to tears at work. It was fun. I was by myself, so like no one saw, but yeah, it's really, really good. This episode is the episode that I tell people if they don't like it, like if they start at the beginning and they're not liking this episode, they're not going to like the show, because this is the show. This is what the show is going to be pretty much from now on. There's, you know, filler stuff, but it's really, really good. And I'm really, really excited you guys are watching it. Season 2, it's my favorite. I'm super, super stoked, and I hope you guys are still enjoying it. And RIP Daddy Vamps. I know you guys wanted him to last, wanted him to have his, what was it, take the anointed one to Disney World. But unfortunately, that is not going to happen.
Boo!
Anyway, I hope you guys are doing well, and till next time, bye!
Thank you, Joy.
Thanks, Joy.
I'm excited for season 2. Everybody says that they love season 2. So it feels as though it's going to be a good time.
And I like the little tidbit Joy said about this being like, this is the show. Because it did feel, this episode felt heavier than a lot of the other ones, if that makes sense. Like, there's a lot on the line this episode. And so I'm looking forward to there being really high stakes, pun intended. So I really liked this episode, and I also liked Sarah. Cordelia was in the mix in this episode, and it makes me wonder, like, is there a world in which she becomes like a fourth for the Scooby-Doo crew?
I believe so. Yeah. I believe so.
We'll see. That would be really fun. We also got an email from Justin, and we are, just as a FYI, we are doing a season wrap up next week. So we may not answer some of this stuff currently, but I'm going to read the email anyway. And maybe we hit the can down the road on some of the questions. So Justin says, as season one comes to an end, I can't help but ask, what did you ladies think of the season? I mean,
I enjoyed it. Like, I think that it wasn't as like kitschy as I was expecting it to be. And I think that it's really exciting to really have a love for the main character and like want to root for her and believe in her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think like, I really liked what this season had to offer. I think it's a really good like stage setting season. So I'm curious to see how season two, you know, builds on what they've already have as a structure, as a foundation from season one. Justin also asked about our character rankings, which we will be updating on the next podcast, because we usually do them like mid-season and then end of season is when we update them. He said, I'm sorry we lost Daddy Vamps. Now, neither of you are under his thrall anymore. But hey, on the bright side, we have the anointed one.
Yay!
Oh, so funny. And he says, as to you needing a buddy system in Sunnydale, while correct, it doesn't necessarily matter much. Just ask my beloved Harmony. That's the girl who fell down the stairs last episode, I think. The one that was like shoved by the ghost.
Yeah. Yes.
In closing, Sarah, stay away from those vampires. Sure, some of them might be attractive, but they're evil and toxic. Oh, now I get it.
Oh, I cannot wait to see who I root for next season.
I mean, if they're as charismatic as Daddy Vamps, then we're going to have no choice but to stan.
I can't wait. I really can't.
Justin also said, Sarah, you might want to bone up on your vampire lore. There's a pop quiz for you soon.
No, what do you mean?
What? I don't know. That's,
I'm going to have to take a quiz.
I guess so.
Oh, Justin.
We also got an email from Joe saying he's having so much fun with the Buffy podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Especially as a giant fan of the world created by He Who Shall Not Be Named, which is a very funny way of saying it. Question about the future. Would you guys be covering any spinoff or related shows / movies in the verse? You talked about watching the movie, but what about other things? To that, I would say, like, TBD. Like, currently we don't have plans to, like, cover all of Angel or anything like that. I would say if there's things that you know come up, like, chronologically, right? So, like, let's pretend we're midway through the next season and you're like, oh, this is what they're referring to. This just started at this point in time. Maybe then we discuss doing something with it, right, Sarah?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I have no problem watching spinoffs. I watched Ravenswood when when Pretty Little Liars.
God.
At the same time. So I commit.
You do commit. Yeah. So yeah, we're not ruling anything out, but we're also not gonna like overcommit ourselves when we don't really know. We don't know a ton. Like, we know Angel existed, but we don't know. I don't know beyond that. You know, I know there was a movie first and I know Angel exists. I don't know beyond that.
If there are more spinoffs or other things out there, then I do not know what that is.
Yeah. I mean, I still think we're waiting to meet a character that is really beloved. Like, I think like we there must be another character.
You know who that is?
No.
I mean, I know a couple things.
I know you said a name and I don't remember the name and I also don't remember the gender. So yeah, it'll be fun when it happens.
There's somebody else too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Somebody else that was on Gossip Girl, XOXO.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay. Yeah. That'll be fun. But yeah, so next week, if you're new to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, generally what we do is, after we finish a finale of a season, we have like a season wrap up where we talk about like our favorite episodes, our least favorite episodes. We re-rank the characters, so give you an update on that. And we just generally talk about like each character's journey and our thoughts on the season as a whole, to kind of set us up for the following season. And then we'll head on into season two, which I'm really excited for, Sarah, because based on all the feedback we've gotten, it seems like season two is a lot of people's favorites.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see it. And like, it's not lost on me that the best seasons of Dawson's Creek were seasons like 2 and 3, which were also people's favorites. So if we're in the heyday of Dawson's Creek, I mean, sorry, of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, then bring it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really excited. So keep sending in your feedback. Shit90spod@gmail.com, shit90spod.com. If you want to do like Joy did it, send us in a voicemail. You can hit us up on any social media as well at shit90spod. But we're really happy to get all the feedback you all have. I think it's really fun getting like super fans' expertise and like what they think, because we're going in completely blind, Sarah. So it's been really, really fun watching this. Because it's a really new experience for both of us. I feel like usually one of us knows the show we're covering. And so with both Felicity and Buffy, it's been a really fun time, neither of us knowing anything.
Yeah, I'm having a great time. I really, really am. Yeah.
Yeah. So next, unfortunately, next time we won't, we'll get to eulogize Daddy Vamps in the season wrap up next week. But then unfortunately, R.I.P. In the meantime, you can also hear me on Talkin' Shit with my friend Stuart, where we're talking about Schitt's Creek every single week. Still very early days, so plenty of time for you to jump on at Talkin' Shit anywhere you get your podcasts. And Sarah, you're on a whirlwind adventure over there.
Yeah, so Whirlwind Podcasts have launched this week, and I am doing Shameless, like, but we're only covering the previously on. So it's a show that we call Previously On Shameless, and like I said, we watch the entire show of Shameless, but only by watching the previously ons. I'm the only one that's seen Shameless out of Todd and Adam, and it's a lot of fun. And there's a whole lot of other excitement on Whirlwind Podcast, and you can follow us at Whirlwind Pods to see what's going on. And over here, Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes,
follow along, incredible. See what we're up to.
Yeah, we got more in the works for April. Some exciting stuff coming down the pipeline, if that's the phrase. But yeah, I think that's about everything. And so until next week, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more. Find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save big.